We're rightly fucked.
Hello, lovely listeners.
Hey.
Welcome to another episode of Not Just Tentacles, where I, Rachel, attempt to demystify animation.
And I, Ruth, help. And maybe provide the odd sideline.
And impression.
Tangent.
And just general sexiness.
Oh, I fart. Occasionally.
Well, we cut those bits out.
Not always.
Yeah, sometimes they might sneak past the censor.
They're sneaky fart.
Anyway, it's been 4 years, but we've finally got it. A first official episode of Has Been Hotel.
And can we just say, there's been recastings, which was controversial, but oh my God, so much for the better.
Because they clearly needed to cast Broadway-level actors and singers, and they seriously knocked it out of the park. I can't think of a single person that doesn't give a stellar performance. They are all just fabulous.
Oh, it was amazing. It's got the beautiful artwork that you expect from anything that Vivienne Medrano has been involved in. But the music is so polished, the voice acting, it's got the A24 chops behind it.
Just all the characterization. Like, I freely admit that in the pilot, I could not stand Alistair or Angel, but Amir and Blake have made them their own. They are just, they really are dream casting for both of them.
Yes, but also the sound editing. So they've actually made the radio effect on Alistair's voice believable.
Yeah, because I used to find it a bit grating, but here it's fine. You just accept it that it's his gimmick, that it's part of who he is. Oh, my favourite... Actually, I'm finding it difficult thinking of a favourite bit, but I love the opening sequence because I always thought the best thing about the pilot was the shadow puppet type animation about him.
The song.
But here, I just loved the retelling of the Garden of Eden only from Lucifer and Lilith's perspective. I mean, admittedly, it's probably a heavily kind of, I don't know, rosy spectacles version of the rulers of hell, but
yeah.
I thought it was fantastic, and we'll probably get religious types getting their knickers in a twist, but who cares? This is the Hellaverse story, and it is wonderful. Although I do have to wonder, where is God? Because there's no appearance
you
of God.
Don't draw God.
And
don't draw God.
That's true, you don't draw God. But even apart from that, I also want to know where Eve got to as well. I mean, did she just, I don't know, go to hell? Are we going to see her eventually?
Might be a plot twist. And don't overthink it.
And the fact that
the ride.
Adam is apparently such a prick that two women divorce him in under 1 week.
Yeah, so he's gone from being like a real bruh to being the head of the angel army. And he doesn't look human anymore. He just looks like a slime ball.
And Alex Brightman makes him such a dick. I mean, he even calls himself the original dick master. And
eating a plate of ribs while he's having a conversation as well. Is that supposed to be human ribs?
Well, it's probably a reference to Eve being his rib, isn't it? So yeah. He's sitting there stuffing his face. And yeah, Charlie, during their conversation, realises, oh my God, this is my mum's ex. I mean, you half expect him to do the whole kind of Biff Tannen, say hi to your mum for me.
Yes, say hi to your mum. For me, yeah.
But anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So this is what I like, the fact that most of the relationships are already established, because that was a weak point with the pilot, that you had sort of like, oh, we're going to introduce this guy and this guy. And it's just like, no.
But not that guy.
It's like the characters are all in place. Well, apart from...
I missed the little legs.
Apart from Sir Penn, but obviously he will be coming later.
Sir
with
Pentious.
With his little eggs. So you've got Shaggy... And
Shaggy, we keep saying Shaggy, but it's Shaggy
and Maggie. Yeah.
And it's clear that they're actually a couple. They're not just mates that live together.
Or sisters, as some people insist on saying, which is just ridiculous. Stop sibling coding couples.
Plus also the fact that Vaggy is played by Stephanie Beatriz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm like, woof.
Her voice could get me pregnant.
Her voice makes your knickers twang off. I mean, it's amazing. Sorry, I shouldn't say your knickers twang off.
Why not? It's accurate.
Yeah, it's sort of like... That's the panty elastic. That it is.
So she is a perfectly supportive partner. I mean, she asks her about how long it is since she heard from her mum, which is 7 years, because Lilith is clearly the pants in the marriage with her and Lucifer. I mean, he's...
I'm just thinking Bebe Newworth like as Lilith in Cheers, you know, Frasier.
Well, quite. And so in the meantime, Alistair has been making an advert for the hotel, but being Alistair, he refuses to take it seriously and just makes it look like a crock of shite.
Because he thinks everything should be made for the wireless.
Yes, he just thinks everything should be a joke, and Vaggy, understandably, is not amused. And we're probably going to get more people going, ooh, she's such an angry lesbian stereotype. But the thing is, Vaggy is always irritated with good reason. Like,
she's trying to keep shit together.
I know, she wants this to be a success. I mean, she doesn't really believe in it herself, but she loves Charlie, and she wants Charlie's dream to come off.
That's not the only thing she wants to come off.
Well, quite. So Charlie gets a ring from her dad. We don't hear his voice yet, but obviously that's going to be coming in later.
Not a ring that you stick your finger in, a phone call.
Yeah. Oh, I love that, by the way, in Alice's advert when he mentioned about her working through her daddy issues. I thought that was great. It was a very funny advert. I really enjoyed his voiceovers. And yeah, he's just so much better than the pilot.
Just the characterization, it was perfect.
So she gets her call from her dad where he's managed to wrangle her a meeting with Adam. And then she goes out into the street and starts singing to Vaggy's Despair.
And oh my God, the song, it is like a mixture of One Fine Day in the Emerald City. Is that the same? One Short Day in the Emerald City from Wicked meets... What's the song where
Belle?
Oh, it's just called Belle.
So, Hell.
Hell
starring Belle. Charlie.
Yeah. Hell's Belle.
And she's dancing around the street past various reprobates. Like, there's a couple shooting porn in a window, and there's dead bodies and cannibals eating each other, and just various other hell types just going around murdering or just having things sticking out of them. And it is just wonderful. It's just such a great send-up of all those Disney sequences when you have the princess or whoever it is dancing around and singing about their what they want and so forth. I mean, which is just the whole Charlie thing. She's
Who is
a
the
Disney
last
princess
that plays Charlie?
Oh, God. I know her first name is Erica, but her surname escapes me at the moment. I will look it up, but she's brilliant.
Her voice is beautiful.
It is extraordinary. I mean, they are all Broadway actors, and you can tell. They all have fantastic pipes. And I do love the animation choice, because while the Extermination Tower in the original pilot didn't really look that different, it is the only beautiful thing in the whole of Hell, and it just looms over everything else. So they can never miss the fact there's this gorgeous piece of heaven that's kind of pointing to the fact they're all going to be exterminated once a year. So she goes in and meets Adam, and as previously mentioned, he is a complete and utter cunt. Yeah, just talking about groupies and just not taking it seriously, and with his right-hand woman, Lute, nearby, who...
Well, she might not be a woman. She's some sort of androgynous angel.
But either way, she seems to be the second exterminator angel, and she firmly believes that everybody that's in hell deserves to be there, and they both believe...
Have you noticed, though, how the angels have the horns like the demon?
Well, I guess it makes sense, because angels, biblically speaking, are meant to be terrifying. You get all that fear not business. So they're not really meant to be kind of like gorgeous guys in 90s. They are meant to be menacing. And I think it makes sense.
In which book?
In the Bible.
The Bible. Well, yeah, which one? There's like 66 books in your common... Old Testament and New Testament.
In cases where angels appear. I really don't know, okay? I'm not that well versed in Bible stuff. Either way, they often depict angels as being absolutely covered in eyes, which, as you might have noticed, will be an ongoing motif.
Are you sure they're not just Wayne Paisley?
They could be. be wearing paisley.
Because I always thought my dad's old paisley pyjamas had eyes.
Well, maybe your dad had a strange angelic dressing gown. I mean, I'm actually torn. What do you think was a better number? Charlie's Hell Song or Adam kind of rocking out and telling her that she was a stupid girl and it was never going to work and that they were going to make another extermination happen in 6 months' time, even though they just had one?
I like the Bell Song. Or do we call it the Bell End Song?
Bell End Song.
given what was happening in the background and things being shoved up things and, you know, barbed wire passes, etc.
And I just feel so vindicated because when they originally released a clip of that song, you had so many people going, oh, this is terrible, or this is really badly cut, or this doesn't flow. So I can only assume it must have been edited.
People on the internet talk shite.
Yeah, true, especially about this. They don't know what they're talking about. So Charlie leaves her meeting absolutely crestfallen and thinking, oh God, everything's gonna go to shit. She returns to the hotel and we find out in the meantime, or rather we had kind of like, it kept cutting between that and the hotel, yeah. where you have Vaggie making a deal with Alistair, but not in the sinister deal with the devil way, because she did say to him, look, I'm not that dumb. I'm not gonna do something like that with you. And he was like, no, I can help you with this. So they, in the meantime, managed to make an advert. Only
I like the porn, the attempt to do the porn version.
Oh,
from,
yeah,
Angel Dust and Husk the bartender.
Because, yeah, Angel had previously said that the way to get punters in was for him to shoot porn, because after all, being a famous porn star. And he is flirting really badly with Husk, and Husk is not having any of it. I mean, we know from various hints that those two are endgame, but at this point they're still very much in the kind of enemies part of friends to enemies to lovers. And
how do you know they're endgame? It could just be a piece of art, or it could be fanfic.
It has been somewhat hinted, but anyway, Husk is just all grumpy and reading off the script while Angel is kind of cavorting around and groaning and just being
going, I got the leg. I got the arms, I got the holes, I got the flats.
That was earlier on when he was explaining how he would be an asset. To the hotel.
But this,
but this was during the filming. Oh yeah, and he calls Vaggie vagina, which some people are now going, ooh, calling a lesbian character vagina, but it's obviously a joke, which I think was originally made in a comic that was made in the during the hiatus.
They made a comic?
Her name is Vagatha, okay?
Vagatha.
And she was always called that, even when Viv originally came up with the idea where she and Angel were a couple. So, yeah, once upon a time, Vaggie and Angel were an item. Makes
and
no sense.
And then they both realised they were gay. Actually, it does make perfect sense.
I know. We all have a relationship like that, don't you? My last het romance person. So
yeah, we both realised we were gay.
And I like that... I feel like it's a kind of an ironic echo of that they are constantly at odds now. Oh, when she tries to get Nifty, the kind of little insane hotel maid, to
stab,
to film a bit, but she just keeps freezing every single time.
And I love the fact that her big one eye in the center of her head, when she's scared, the pupil just contracts to a tiny micro dot.
Yeah. Oh, and we even get a glimpse of Katie Killjoy and Tom Trench. So Katie Killjoy is Brandon. So yay! So it was like, hi, Brandon. I'm not sure who's playing Tom, but I'm really glad that they came back in and they're going to be playing a role later on, because the bit in the news studio was my favorite part of the pilot. So I am glad that they still have a role, that they haven't been written out. So that was good.
They're sort of like Diane and Tom Tucker from Family Guy, aren't they?
Only more so, yeah.
Yes. I do miss Diane and Tom's chemistry.
I know, it was never the same after she got killed off. Obviously, spoiler alert in case you haven't watched that episode, although it was years ago, so, you know. Anyway,
have you ever worried about spoilers?
Well, yeah, if you were worried about spoilers, why would you be listening to a recap of a show that only got released today?
Well, you know, people probably saw it before us, and they're watching it at a safe distance.
And they're tweeting it all over the internet. But come on, we've been waiting for this for years.
I mean,
they wouldn't have released this on Patreon.
Amazon,
I mean,
or is that just in the UK?
It will always be on Amazon now. I mean, they've been showing us clips of the last couple of weeks, just getting everybody excited. So releasing all the characters one at a time. And I think there was a bit with Serpentius that was released slightly early on New York Live, was it? So they ended up having to release his bit as well. So people weren't spoiled. But either way, I just thought this was just such a really strong, promising episode.
It was amazing.
Firing on all cylinders.
Can I say, I think having that influence of the studio, A24, it's probably focused it a lot. Because I know the past season of Helluva, sometimes it's gone a little bit fanficky down a wormhole. This for me was on track and pace. It was pacey. I didn't think anything had been included for egos, shall we say.
Oh, and there's a little before we go off on that, there's also a little bit of a mystery too, in which one of the exterminators has been killed, which has apparently never happened before,
which is why they're bringing forward
they want to punish them,
but they're trying to make it sound like it's Charlie's fault.
Of course. So poor Charlie, here she is thinking, well, okay, she's upset about the meeting, but there's a little bit of excitement over the advert. So I just felt that I mean, I admit, I was not entirely sold on the pilot. No. I could see that it had promise. There were some bits I really liked. Other bits I just could have done without, or I just felt, I don't know, needed more focus. But like you said, they've obviously put a lot of money into this. They've put the best actors. The writing feels a lot tighter,
yes,
too.
Yes, the writing, the editing, the sound quality, just the engineering in general.
And it was funny because my problem with the pilot was I just felt like Alistair walked in after a certain point and he just took over everything. And it wasn't funny. Well, the laughs were consistent.
Yes.
I found myself chuckling throughout. So I do feel like they've definitely got this right.
And the minute it finished, I just turned to you and I was like, let's record this.
Yeah, we had to. We were like, right, we've got to talk about this. I am really excited. Because
we don't do any scripting or plotting ahead, do we? We just
because I did
it.
Think of this as being a bit of a duty watch, because I was looking forward to it, but nowhere near as much as I anticipate of an episode.
That's it. I was thinking, right, let's do this. And then, oh my God, did the dopamine hit?
Yeah, so it completely exceeded my expectations and I can't wait to watch more of them. And Shaggy are my gals.
Oh, I'm sorry. I never thought I'd be thinking, that's a hot moth.
that's true. And just everybody, because I can remember originally thinking there are too many characters in this. But even Nifty, who I guess is like the most minor of the supporting characters, she has something bring to the table. Oh, yeah, Kiki.
I like the one-eyed cat.
Yeah, Kiki's lovely too. So they're all there. I didn't feel like anybody was superfluous. And like
superfluous? Is that one of the backup characters?
It could be.
Superfluous.
Yeah, maybe it's one of the egg boys.
So, like a little squashed egg.
So I just think there's just been so much set up here, and just I really am looking forward to it. So I've gone from thinking, I guess we're going to have to do this one, to yay!
And it's just what we've needed to see after Rachel's last week.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, obviously, I can't go into details on the podcast, but this week has been shit. So I am very happy to have this and three other episodes to look forward to. Although I have heard that apparently the Satanic Panic people are all over this because they think it's rewriting the Bible, like Milton and Dante
guys,
and all that lot. Never did. or good omens never did. No, apparently it's only offensive when it's about Lucifer and Lilith falling in love and their queer daughter trying to rehabilitate people.
They can shut up.
Yeah, they can fuck off.
Yeah.
But I think it's like...
Well, it's time for the scores on the doors.
Oh, scores on the doors. I would give it a 9.
Out of?
10. Even my maths isn't that bad. Not 9 out of 5. Oh. What about you?
I'm giving it 9 out of 5.
A big rack of Adam ribs.
You're a rack of ribs. Right. No, I am definitely giving it, I'd say 10.
Gosh, really?
I didn't think there was anything that I could fault in it.
Wow, and you were the one that really didn't like it originally.
Yeah, but that's because the pilot.
Yeah.
So that's because I saw, oh, I like this. And then when Alistair took over.
Yeah.
I was like.
And we didn't like how they kept making fun of Maggie. Oh, and one thing I do have to mention, because obviously it's been controversial and so forth. The number of people that used to deny Shaggy and ship Charlester, it's like they barely interact with each other. He has more screen time with Vaggy than he does with Charlie.
Yeah, and you just spat in my mouth.
Oh, yeah, we're not doing disobedience.
Oh, my Rachel Weisz.
Yeah, wrong sapphic show.
Wrong sapphic Rachel.
Rachel and Rachel action. Anyway, okay, now that we're talking about Rachel Weisz playing lesbians with, which by the way, also watch The Favourite if you want to see a bit of that.
Wait, also watch Dead Ringers on Prime, you know, if you're going to have to pay for the Prime.
Oh, yeah,
anyway.
But one of them's a lesbian in that, isn't she? You get to a certain point in Hollywood where you get to like your 40s, and if you're still hot, they still cast you as lesbians.
Wait, no, not always. I mean, I think it's just if you're Rachel Weisz, because I think she has matured with age like a fine wine.
It's true. Yeah, because it is like they go, all the best parts are for sapphically inclined ladies. But anyway, this has nothing to do with Has-Been Hotel. So this is tangenty and needs to go.
Wait, it involves sapphics and MILFs and... But bears, oh my.
Needless to say, we are going to be covering the rest of the episodes. I mean, if, of course, it goes off the boil, then we won't bother. But
we'll go, this is shite.
But the plan is that we will be covering all of them. And there's a further 3 episodes. And then I think there's a new one on Friday after that. Is that right?
What was that? Was Scooby-Doo, I think.
Confused dog noise. Anyway, so love you guys, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. And,
if you like it, tell us.
Yep. Yep, tweet at us.
If you don't like it, don't bother.
Fuck off.
Keep it to yourself.
Okay. Yeah, love you guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to subscribe. And you can also follow us on social media. We are at TentaclesNot on Twitter. And on Facebook, our page is called Not Just Tentacles. Speak to you soon. Bye.